1, as we'll spend a few moments together considering that passage of Scripture. But before I begin, I want to help us understand why we're turning to Luke chapter 1 this evening, and it's partly because songs have always been a very special part of the Christmas season. And that's why we have a service like we have tonight. We love to gather together and sing these great songs of Christmas. We love singing them together. We love teaching them to our children, hearing them on the radio, or listening to them in some way. And I'll bet that a lot of you, even if you don't know many songs in the hymnal, you know Christmas songs. Maybe you know them by heart. Some of you are probably experts in them. And so, for you experts, I have a question. Good trivia question for you. What was the first Christmas song ever sung? To be a little bit more precise, what was the first song ever sung to celebrate that Christ had come into our world? Now, some of you who know the Bible very well are going to start talking about Psalms that prophesied the Messiah, and that's great, but I'm talking about the first song sung after the fact. After the incarnation had occurred, what was the first response in song? It wasn't sung in a church. It was not sung by angels in the heavens. It was not sung by shepherds in the fields or Simeon in the temple. All those kinds of things came later. The first song was sung by a young woman bearing a miraculous child. Before he was even born, she celebrated his presence in her womb. And that is the song that we find as we look now at what we read in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. This is the word of the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." This is God's holy, inerrant, and inspired word. Let's pray together that he would give us understanding of what we've read. Our Father in heaven, tonight we ask for understanding of this and all the passages of Scripture that we've read together that proclaim to us in so many ways the glorious good news of the Messiah's birth, promised in Eden, conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary, and born in Bethlehem. Lord, as we consider these things, we pray that we would not just understand what we see in these words from Scripture with our minds, but that with faith we would receive them, that we would receive Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we now pray. Amen. We do have a lot to learn from Mary's song as we find it here. There's nothing wrong at this time of year with the occasional song that celebrates sleigh bells and chestnuts and roaring fires. Those things are part of this time of year, but that's not really why we have come to sing and celebrate at this season. We have a song and a celebration that isn't just for the days when there's snow on the ground and sleigh bells ringing and chestnuts by open fires. We do understand that Jesus was not literally born on December 25th. The songs that we sing at this season, then, are not just for right now, but for all time. Throughout the year, we celebrate together something marvelous that God has done. That's why we sing. We sing because God has blessed the lowly by sending Jesus to us and drawing us to him. That's what Mary sings about here, that God has blessed the lowly by sending Jesus to us and drawing us to him. I want us to notice together just three things in Mary's song here. Notice how Mary sings about God's power, God's faithfulness, and God's grace. First, she sings here clearly about God's power. Why does she sing? Because God has done something that she and we could never do. You see how Mary's song is not really about her. It's all about the Lord. My soul magnifies the Lord, she says. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. Just scan your eye over the song and see how often she says, he, or his. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. It's all about God's powerful work. And of course, there's an irony in this song, isn't there? Many in this world think that they are mighty. They think that they are the big shots, and that everything important that happens has to run through them, whether it's on the level of a nation or all the way down to just the level of your own family. Everything important must run through me. But where does God display his power? It's not in the things that people usually think mark power or influence. She sings that God has put down the mighty from their thrones. The politically powerful, the rulers, have been lowered from their thrones. They've been humbled. What about the rich? Well, she says in verse 53, he's filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Power and wealth, these are the kinds of things that make people think they are important, that make them think arrogant thoughts. Look at my position. Look at my possessions. I must be powerful. They're what Mary says here. Proud in the imagination of their hearts. Their imagined self-importance just evaporates before what God has done in Mary. He's displayed his power in a way that puts the proud of this world to shame. They cannot do this, and it did not happen to them. Mary says he has shown strength with his arm. Where did he do that? Where did he show strength? Where did he display his power? Not among the mighty or the wealthy. He's chosen to display his power in her, in this ordinary, insignificant girl, a humble, unknown virgin. And by his power, entirely apart from the normal way children are conceived, he forms this holy child in Mary's womb. Remember what we read from one of the earlier passages, that when the angel comes and tells Mary that she'll bear a child, she says, "How can this be? I do not know a man." And the angel's response was that the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. And the angel goes on to say, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Do you see what is being declared to Mary? God's power is going to be displayed in you, not among the wealthy and powerful of this world, who are all the while sitting in their homes, proud in the imagination of their hearts, thinking big thoughts about their big plans and their great importance. And meanwhile, God is miraculously producing, creating a Savior in Mary's womb, doing there what political power and financial might can never do, creating life. And not just any life, you understand. This life is the life that we've read about from all the scriptures. This is Jesus, the Savior, who will save his people from their sins. And at the same time, he is Emmanuel. He is God with us, God the Son in the flesh. He is the Christ, the long-awaited Messiah, the one who will come who will live the perfect life, die an atoning death, rise again so that sinners like us who believe in him can be saved. God is doing this powerful work in a way that humbles every proud imagination of our hearts. And so Mary doesn't sing about human power, and she doesn't sing about her own power. She sings about God's power, and that's for us as well. That's what we've been singing about, and what we do sing about, that God has done what we could never do, that he has sent a Savior to save those who could not save themselves. He has powerfully worked for the salvation of the lowly. Mary sings about God's power here. But notice, secondly, that Mary sings about God's faithfulness. God's faithfulness. She notices something that we should be primed to realize if we've just read through all of these scripture passages from the Old Testament. That while in one sense this miraculous birth from the womb of a virgin is a stunning thing that just lays low all the expectations of the proud among men. But at the same time, God was just keeping his word. This was God's plan all along. Many years of waiting had passed, but this was prophesied throughout those Old Testament scriptures that we read. And so Mary says at the end of her song, he has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. She's speaking about those promises that we read tonight. Promises made to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to David, the king, to the whole nation of Israel through the prophets, and ultimately to the whole world. And Mary is making this astonishing connection. Can you imagine making this connection as she does here? That all of those promises to all of those great men and women of faith have now funneled down to this point in her womb. This child is the fulfillment of all of God's promises. As 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 says, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. She knows that this child is God's faithfulness in action. He's promised a Savior, now he's sent a Savior. He had promised a king, now the king is here. He'd promised a Messiah, and the Messiah has come. Mary praises God for his faithfulness to his promises. And we too praise God for the exact same reason. You must understand, God's promises to Israel that she talks about here were always the hope of all the world. God did make a promise to Abraham, as she says at the end of her song. And part of that promise in Genesis 12, verse 3, was that in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth were blessed that through Abraham's line, this child has come to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so we, like Mary, join together and praise God for his faithfulness, that he's kept all of those promises, that the promised child has come. And this also strengthens our faith year by year as we remember how God kept his promises and sent a Savior. It strengthens our faith that he will continue to keep his promises. And that all those things that we read about which are promised but not yet fulfilled will be fulfilled. This mighty God is a faithful God. And we sing of his faithfulness at the incarnation, and it reminds us that he is still faithful today. He will not fail. He will not forget. He will keep his promises as he has done, so he will do. So with Mary, we celebrate God's faithfulness. And then third and lastly, notice here how Mary sings about God's grace. She sings about God's grace, his undeserved favor to her. Look at all the ways that Mary in her song acknowledges that she does not deserve what God has done. She says of herself here that she has a lowly state, that she's God's maidservant, a slave girl before the Lord. Clearly, she did not expect the honor of carrying the Christ in her womb. She didn't ask for this blessing. She didn't feel that she deserved it. She did nothing to make it happen. Remember, this child came entirely apart from the usual means. God has done it all, miraculously forming this child in her womb in a way that she did not deserve. And so she says, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. Now, it's easy to distort this. Many have, wrongly elevating Mary as if she in herself is the great one. But do you see here how she's lowering herself? She's saying, I'm lowly, but God has blessed me in a way I do not deserve. He who is mighty, she says, has done great things for me. I am a lowly servant, and God has given me a great gift. So this song shouldn't lead us to exalt Mary for how holy she was. It should lead us to join Mary in exalting the Lord for his holiness, might, and mercy. We've been seeing it all along, but notice it again. This first, if you want to call it this first Christmas song is not about who Mary is or what she did. It wasn't a song like so many of our Christmas songs today that just tell us to be nice to each other. It isn't a song that just celebrates how pleasant family and friends are. All those things are nice, but this song celebrates God's grace, his undeserved favor poured out on her. And what was the undeserved favor? What was the grace given to her? She was blessed to receive Jesus. She was blessed to receive this Savior. Now, at first, certainly Mary is singing here about receiving him in her womb. But we know from the rest of Scripture that the far greater blessing is to receive this child by faith as her Savior. You and I, like Mary, when we sing about the birth of Jesus Christ, we sing of God's grace. For all that she says of herself here is true of us as well. By nature, we're lowly. We're sinners, every human being since Adam's fall, which we read about from Genesis chapter 3. We're lowly sinners, sinning against one another, being sinned against by others, sinning and suffering, mired in sin in this world like a quicksand we can't climb out of. But God has regarded our lowly state. He has sent a Savior. Like Mary, we don't deserve him. Like Mary, we don't do anything to make him come. But God has graciously given him, and those who receive him are highly honored, given a place of honor to be called the children of God. That's what John 1 verse 12 says. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Those who believe in this child are honored to be called children of God. And Scripture tells us, you must understand, that as blessed as Mary was to receive this child and to be the mother of Jesus, the Word of God tells us that all who believe in this Son are far more blessed than simply the blessing of bearing Jesus. Paul writes about this in Ephesians chapter 1 when he celebrates God's power, God's faithfulness, and God's grace to us in Christ Jesus. Mary says, all generations will call me blessed. Here in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul explains to us how blessed all who believe in Christ are. He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved. In him We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us. Scripture says to us that we are blessed if we receive this Savior by faith. We are honored. We are called children of God. And so if you are a believer this evening, saved by faith in Jesus, then you have a song to put in your mouth just like Mary did. A song about how we are lowly in our sins. How we do not deserve to be saved and could do nothing to save ourselves, but that God, through this child, has greatly blessed us. He who is mighty has done great things for us. He has made us blessed through his grace alone. May we sing about that this year and all through the year. Not primarily how nice we are or ought to be, not primarily how pretty the snow is, and not about how all I want for Christmas is you or my two front teeth. Let's sing this at this time of year and all through the year about what God has done, about his power, his faithfulness, and his grace in sending to lowly sinners his own Son, so that we in him could become children of God. Would you pray with me now? Our Father in heaven, tonight we praise you and give thanks to you for the mighty gift of a Savior. Lord, we praise you for the child that you formed powerfully, faithfully, and graciously in the womb of Mary. We thank you that this child lived and died for us, and that he is risen, so that if we believe in him, we are accepted, forgiven, and called children of God. Lord, stir us up this evening to delight in this gospel, perhaps to understand and believe it for the first time, and even if we've believed it for decades, to rejoice anew that you have sent a Savior, and his name is Jesus, for he saves his people from our sins. We pray in that name, in Jesus' name. Amen.